Harbor, Michigan, on the football field.
We don't want to coach average. I don't want to be around you. Why be around average?
We do want to win because winning is the epitome of team effort.
Every coach who ever put a whistle around their neck strives to be the head coach at The Ohio State University.
Welcome back, everybody, to Buckeye Bar Guys here on Buckeye Bar Talk. I'm Mike.
And I'm John.
Tonight's date is Friday, March 8th, 2024. And we're talking a little bit about, this week was the first week of spring practice. We had two practices this week. Kids go on spring break this week coming up, so spring practice won't return back till the following week. So just to go over a couple of things, we heard from a couple of the coaches this week. Not going to get too much into the actual like substance of the press conferences. Just a couple things I noticed from just both Knowles talking and Chip Kelly talking that we just kind of wanted to talk about. Just a couple of things about, and then we're going to break down just some of the offense of just our expectations for the offense going in this spring, different things we want to see, where we'd hopefully like to see the offense be at by the end of spring. And then we'll do defense on the next show. First things up. So we'll start with the defensive side. So Jim Knowles, he talked for about 15 minutes the other day. Some good pointers and stuff. I always hate when they do the stuff with some coaches, like they Ryan Day's press conference the other day and Chip Kelly's press conference the other day. They did it right at the podium. Good audio, all that stuff. I hate when they do the press conferences out on the field surface and that one on the little desks and stuff, especially for some of the coaches. It's like, give them the podium so we can actually hear some of the questions of stuff they're being asked and stuff. And just something that I like to nitpick on. It's bothered me. It's not the first time I brought it up on this, so it's kind of annoys me. But anyway, I thought one of the things that I really liked that he said is, he really emphasized on they really do need to make sure they get their best players on the field. And one of the ways he says they're going to do that, they really want to explore with various different fronts and stuff, try to come at the teams in multiple ways. Specifically mentioned having three down linemen with possibly JT and Jack both being stand-up defensive end, so it'd be a five-man front. I thought that was pretty cool, just even to mention it and stuff. And I know everybody has kind of talked about the year, over the last several years about the Jack position and stuff like that. He even kind of joked around, said maybe that's all he's going to run during the spring game is the Jack, just so everybody will see it. But, we've always said that we've mentioned a bunch of times that I think that, him and LJ kind of have to kind of figure out, mesh whatever they need to mesh with to figure things out. And I think the five-man fronts maybe kind of a good compromise that you get the defensive lineman out there that LJ wants out there, but you also get a couple maybe stand up guys on the ends and to be able to come from both sides, I think could be very interesting, especially how they could possibly attack some different teams with that, if that's kind of a route they would go with.
Yeah. I mean, we've been hearing, that was the intriguing part about Knowles, right? Was that he was a multiple defense kind of guy that he brought in things that were going to confuse the offense. And it was, it was going to bring our defense to a different level. And we definitely saw last year, just a year with his fundamentals, being trained, like kind of just learning his defense. They definitely were a shutdown defense and they had the talent everywhere to do so. So, I mean, I'm in I'll believe it when I see it mode with Jim Knowles, though, because I feel like the last 2 years we did hear that, like, hey, this is what I do. I have the Jack. And then actually chips on the table come, the season. It's just been a four-man down front. So I believe him. I do, but I still got to see it. And I agree with you, though. I mean, I think it is a great compromise for him and LJ that he's still going to have LJ's going to have his personnel out there. But it's going to be more so what Knowles wants to do. My only fear with that is in 22, wasn't that kind of like the compromise, like Sawyer did Jack things, but he wasn't really a Jack, So, I mean, Knowles has to make sure he still has the guys he wants to do doing it. Now, if he believes, JT and Jack are the guys that can do that and they can, you know, excel at it, and they do excel at it. I'm totally all for it, you know, 100%. I just, that's where I maybe, like, I don't know, stand up defensive ends. Do we have guys that maybe are a little bit more athletic that can recover better in space with that? I don't know. I mean, Jack Sawyer looked pretty damn good at the end of last year. JT's definitely had moments where, I mean, saying shined is like an insult to him. Like, he's had moments where you're like, holy crap, that guy's going to be the number one pick in the draft, you know, which I realize he's not going to be the number one pick in the draft, but well, I guess there's always the next year. So maybe he will be, I don't know. But
if he ends up being the number one pick in the draft, I think they probably won the national title. I mean,
Gowry's just has a Nick Bosa or Chase Young year. I mean, I don't think he just doesn't have their athleticism. And well, I don't, I say but that. And then you look at the Penn State game, you're like, hey, actually, yeah, maybe he does.
It's crazy, though. He does have athleticism.
He has crazy athleticism. So, yeah, I don't think any of them have the get off. Maybe Sawyer has better get off than what JT does, but it's, there's a long-winded way to say, like, this is great. I want to see the multiple fronts. I think we need to, if we want to go to that next level on, you know, our defensive line, because it's stagnant at this point. Teams don't just like live and die by four down linemen anymore. I think LJ is the best in the game, maybe best ever at teaching it, but it's just something that is too predictable. We've seen it the last couple of years. Like, I don't know if it's, we don't have the guys that can maximize that when that's all you're running anymore. Maybe he has lost a step in how he's getting guys to be explosive. So, hey, hell, let's just throw a little something new out there and see how it goes, where it takes us.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. I think that, you know, kind of when you listen to Cody Simon talk the other day, he says there's a lot being thrown at him this year. And, I think that they're really accepting that because this is year three in this defense. And I think the thing, and obviously we'll get more into about the defense in the next episode, but the thing I really want to see about this is that I kind of want this, for a lack of a better term, I want this to be the Goldilocks year. Like year one, I thought they were too hot with like just all the different blitzes and stuff they tried. Last year they just stood back way too much. Right. They were too cold, even though they bucked up when they needed to buck up and stuff like that. And they, you know, they didn't give up a lot of touchdowns, obviously, but it was like they let the other team have the ball way too long. They didn't impose their will on it. I just want this year.
And that ended up being like, their undoing.
To be kind of like, can you find the right balance between the two where, you know, I think that's, you know, I mean, we've seen now Michigan over the last couple seasons, we've seen what Georgia's been like under Kirby Smart, you know, defenses change and stuff and you got to change it up with seven. And none of these teams are using four straight down linemen anymore on every single play.
Right.
They still use them, but they're mixing them up and stuff. And there's guys standing up and it's like these newer style defenses are more NFL minded and they're kind of like a hybrid between 3-4s and 4-3s in a lot of way. And, you know, sometimes they have seven up guys and four guys in the back. And sometimes they have five guys in the back and, you know, six guys up front. And it's different things that get tried. And I think that we have the personnel to do it this year. And, you know, and I think that, you know, we really do need to try some of this different stuff and maybe get more some of the athleticism onto the field too. I like he said this week that, you know, he really wants to try to get Sonny and CJ both on the field at the same time. And, you know, there's going to be times that they go three linebackers and, you know, I can see them maybe having a three down lineman at times and three linebackers. And then you can kind of move CJ and Sonny up onto the line and back off the line and different things as you kind of go with that. So, you know, I think there's, you know, a couple of years ago, maybe they rotated way too much throughout the whole defense. And last year, I kind of felt like they didn't rotate enough in spots. So it's like this year, maybe they really do need with all these different athletes and stuff like that. Can you find the right combinations using different fronts they've actually got really well over the last two seasons that using the different fronts in the back.
Right
now, can they match that up in the front of in the front defense? You know, with the different things and be able to mix and match these up, you know, front and back to have just very creative and confusing defenses that puts the other team, you know, the other team's offense kind of on their back heel some, and maybe we'll get some more three and outs where we kind of missed it last year. And
or sacks and turnovers.
Sacks or turnovers. Any of the three would be, you know, a very plus situation, you know, in comparison. That was where they were really lacking last year.
Yeah.
Where, you know, they were so hot and cold 2 years ago, they got a lot of three and outs. And they also gave up a lot of, you know, just BS bad defensive plays, you know, easy touchdowns, where, you know, last year they took away all the easy touchdowns, but they didn't get any three and outs. Like, can they figure out this year where, you know, they keep teams back in third and longs, and then they come at somebody with some exotic stuff on that third and long? Like, I would love to see that.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you. I mean, it's definitely time that LJ has to give a little bit on that defensive line. And, you know, like I said, I still think he's the best in the game at that, what he teaches, but it's just time to kind of just switch it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Let Knowles do what he's there for.
Yeah. Definitely feel that one. All right. Chip Kelly. So, like, I hate when I go like into this kind of like mode set, like when you definitely think somebody like they won the press conference. Chip Kelly like hardcore won the press conference the other day. I mean, he was just like,
Chip's always been a good talker though, you know?
But he was like a couple of the things that really stood out to me. Well, first of all, I mean, he did talk about why he just, you know, why he left UCLA, you know. He said he kind of just wants to be a coach again. And it's just the head coaching position is, you know, it's just become too much of a CEO position. And, you know, he was the quarterback's coach during the bowl week this year, you know, and, you know, he kind of found that love again that, you know, he likes coaching people. And you really got the feel for that this week in the press conference. And it just feels like that. I mean, he's enjoying himself. He's got this, I mean, he's got talent literally everywhere, and you can just tell the stuff is just working in his head. I mean, the dude throws out there for any of little Giants fans out there, when he threw out the annexation of Puerto Rico play, and he said that, you know, it's not like we're going to be running the annexation of Puerto Rico. I mean, my jaw dropped. I'm like, oh my God. I loved it. I won't lie. He touched my heart on that one, but I understood the Bill O'Brien hire. I was, you know, we talked about this here. It took me a couple seconds to get on that one, but I really liked it. And I really liked this one just because, I mean, him and Ryan Day are just the difference between, and I know why Ryan Day went after Bill O'Brien. He would have got criticized if he pulled in Chip Kelly right away. You're going to be like, oh, he's just going to what he knows. And, you know, it's just going to be more of the same, him and Chip, blah, 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 all that stuff. So I think it showed a lot of, you know, oomph that he went out and got O'Brien. And for whatever reason, you know, what happened, you know, Bill O'Brien, he got this opportunity to become a head coach. Obviously we've talked about in the past, there was a lot of reasons why that was a smart move on him to stay in Boston. It just feels right to get Chip now, and nobody can come back on Ryan Day and be like, oh, he's just going to what he knows and blah, blah, blah. And it's just, you know, is this really going to change anything when you can say, well, yeah, that wasn't his first choice, but now that it is his choice, it just seems like it meshes so much. I think it just will mesh a lot better than even Bill O'Brien, because these two are already on the same page and they speak the same language. And Chip just really looked like that. He was like all about it the other day. And like I said, press conferences, we'll see how he does come season time. But, you know, he's got a lot of toys to play with. And I think you could definitely see the gears are turning in his head about the different things he could do with this offense.
I mean, Chip Kelly in college football, I think for the longest time, he was really thought of as a very innovative offensive mind. That kind of fell off a little bit with UCLA. And I don't know if that's so much him as to what he had to work with. And he wasn't going to strike you know, what he did at Oregon again. And I don't even think he was really trying to either. I think maybe he's evolved a little bit since he went to the NFL and came back. I don't think he was trying to be the same guy he was at Oregon. He, though, he has so much talent around him. And I just think that he's going to implement. He just, when you, and I know Ryan Day said him and Chip are like, you know, simpatico, you know, like they're on the same page. Like his views on quarterbacks is like, he learned that when Chip was his offensive coordinator, when he was his coach, and that's how he kind of got to where he is. With all that talent in that room, we know the type of passing game coordinator that Ryan Day's been. I know they say Brian Hartline's the passing day coordinator. We know the type of passing game coordinator Ryan Day is. When you get a different mind, a good offensive mind in there, that's going to take all that talent, all that crap that they already know, and he's going to add his spin to it. I mean, there is going to be so much out there that other teams just are not going to be ready for. And, yeah. And you see this all the time when someone comes in, like you saw with Ryan Day in 2019, there's, you know, Urban's guys, but he came in, he put his footprint on it, and he almost won the national championship because he had all the talent there could be. And he attacked people completely different than what Urban did, and nobody was ready for it. So Chip's going to come in. He's going to have that opportunity. He's not going to waste it. I mean, the guy, especially because like him and Fry are on the same page with how they want to do their, you know, their run game. Him and Day are on the same page with how they want the offense to be. But he's going to have that different feel for what he's going to call. And it's just, I think it's going to be very effective. I don't, you know, I can't guarantee it. Who knows? But, and it's not like he did not do a bad job at UCLA. People can say he did a bad job all they want. He took UCLA to a level above where they were, though, before he got there. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's going to go very well. I think the passing game is going to take a step back. I'll tell you that. I think the passing game is going to take another step back because I'm not sure that they're, and I know Buckeye fans are going to think this might be the craziest ass statement out there. Stay with me though, but I don't know that there is a quarterback in that room that is definitely no CJ there, but I don't know that right now there's one that's like McCord even when it comes to passing. And that's just because McCord was only comfortable passing, you know, and that got him in a lot of trouble because he sped his shit up and he would throw the ball before he needed to, have groundings, miss guys, like wouldn't give guys a chance to get open and just stare down Marv the entire play. So, I mean, I don't, by no stretch am I saying that, you know, Kyle McCord was a great passer, but I think this offense is going to evolve in a way that the passing is going to take a step back, I do believe, because I think the running is going to flourish this year.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. It's like Chip said during the press conference the other day, he's like, you know, depending on who, cause they were kind of asking him about his thoughts on running the ball and stuff and how he's always had these good running teams. He's like, you know, depending on who you ask, you know, there's people that literally, you know, will say I'm an air raid coach. And then there's people that say that, you know, I just run the ball all the time. And he's like, so, yeah, I mean, maybe he's even more balanced. But the thing on the running game that I'm really, really looking forward to, and me and you have talked about this, that there has just been something missing over the last couple of season. And it's because we feel like, and I think you've brought it up first, and I agree with you, is just they're not running the ball enough in practice, and it's just kind of throwing everything off. They're not able to get that last 1 or 2 yards when they have to get their last 1 or 2 yards. And in reverse, because they don't do enough running, the defense doesn't seem like they're comfortable shutting a team down on 3rd and 2 or 3rd and 1 when, you know, I mean, it's not an easy down to shut down a good right. running team. But it just, I don't know. And it's completely anecdotal. It just seems like during Urban Meyer, they used to do it a lot more because, you know, it just seemed like they were so used to that. They had to go up against that all the time in practice that they were ready for stuff like that.
I mean, I know like Braxton Miller, that's going to stand out to people. 2013, him and Hyde, they couldn't pick up a yard against Michigan State. That shit didn't happen often with Urban Meyer, though. You know, it's just like, it just didn't. I mean, it would be third and three or whatever, and you knew JT was getting the first down. You could almost call that the quarterback was keeping the ball and he would get the first down. And if he didn't keep it, you know,
he was getting 2 yards and
Hyde,
you know, they're
Hyde, going for it on Zeke or down. Dobbins or Weber, they were going to get their first down then.
Yeah. No, I think a lot more of that is going to be get practice and stuff, because I think that's going to put a lot of pressures on defense. And that's, I think, going to really open up the passing game, even, you know, to the point that they're not going to be throwing it as much as they did, but I think that they could possibly be just as dominant as they were with throwing the ball, just because, you know, it's just going to be a different mindset. There's going to be more guys in the box. So they're going to have more one-on-one situations against teams on the outside. And, you know, so
I guess my point with that is just, I don't know that they have a guy with the arm talent like Justin Fields or, you know, CJ Stroud. Like, I think the offense could look a lot like when Fields was there, because I think there's going to be just that added emphasis on running the ball, and the quarterback can do that a little bit. And obviously none of them are Justin Fields, at least I don't think they are. If they are, hell yeah. But none of them have his arm strength, you know? So I'm not sure they can do what Justin did. They sure as hell aren't CJ Stroud, which that's fine. But if you could turn into this run team that is just dominant, then they're good. They are good to go.
If they could be maybe, if you could get these guys, because you got really great receivers around you, and if they're good enough to throw the ball to where they could be a more accurate JT Barrett, then that's really all you need. And, you know,
if it's an accurate JT with a little bit more pop on that arm, hell yeah. Yeah. You're good to go, man.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to just seeing what Chip can do with this offense. I really think that, you know, like I said, just reading kind of his body language the other day, he just seems rejuvenated. So, you know, I'm excited for that. And I'm excited then what that could help with Ryan, because I think Ryan Day just needs that last oomph that really get him now past kind of the brick wall that's been put in front of him.
Yeah.
And that I think that he needs some guys around him that he trusts. I think he trusts Knowles, what he's doing in that defense. And now I have a guy that he trusts, you know, on the offensive side of the ball. And let's be fair, a guy that I don't think is going to be, you know, he might leave for an NFL head coaching job. I don't think Chip Kelly is just going to leave for any college football head coaching job now, after kind of what the stuff he was saying the other day. And because it's Ryan Day, I don't think he's just going to leave for an offensive coordinator's job in the NFL neither. I think you would have to really wow him with an NFL head coaching job for him to probably want to leave. And so, you know, that could create some really interesting stability, you know, within the program, especially, I mean, I know Noel's got some interviews this time around, but I think he's more pickier than probably when he was in the years past. And so I think you probably got two coaches that are not necessarily going to be easy to pull out of there. And I think that's a good thing. All right. Let's talk about offense. You know, moving on from Chip to at the extra. So we'll start with the quarterbacks. So obviously this week, you know, they all have kind of got their rotations. They actually have got a lot of reps for all of them. I think that's going to slow down now as we move past spring break. And we're probably going to see, I would assume that we're going to see, it's going to be primarily Will Howard, Devin Brown, and Lincoln Kienholz initially. And then probably we'll move into more of a Will Howard, Devin Brown type competition, you know, and I think that's probably where they're going to settle. I think that's kind of where they, you know, unless one of these freshmen or Lincoln like just blow somebody out of the water, I think that's probably the mindset by the end of spring, is that it's one of those two jobs, and they'll probably finish that out come summertime, who actually is going to take the reins to start the year. But I really do like some of the stuff we heard from Devin Brown this week. You know, I know that there was some mixed bags on some of the different, you know, videotapes that, you know, people showed of him. There were some drills where he looked like he was really spot on, and then there was others where he was off. But, you know, I take that stuff with a grain of salt on both sides of it, because, you know, you never know. It's first practice, plus, you know, it always seems like people pick and choose which camera angles get sent out of there. So, well, you never know what to believe.
Yeah, I mean, no, it is what it is. Like you said, it's the first practice, man. Like, none of them look great. I mean, it's a 2-minute clip. None of them look, you know, particularly sharp. I think Aaron Nolan looked the best, but he was throwing, you know, wheel routes on his side, and the other guys were throwing post routes on their side. So, I mean, it's a different throw. It's a different, you know, it's totally different timing. And you got to remember, these receivers they're learning each other. Will Howard's never thrown to these receivers. Like, they don't have a rapport yet. You know, Devin Brown, these might be new guys for him. I love it, though, like the Michigan fans, and yes, I'm going to call them out because they're the ones that are having the most fun with this. They take a clip of Will Howard throwing a ball to Jeremiah Smith and totally, you know, are all over Will Howard because it's not the prettiest ball and it's out of place. Completely gloss over the fact that our true freshman, like Megatron clone, just catches a ball off, you know, his shoelaces like 3 feet the way he shouldn't. And it's a clean catch and he's able to, you know, take it and run with it. But yeah, you can focus on Will Howard all you want, but you know, there's some monsters on that offense. So
yeah.
And like you said, you said about defense, but this is what they got. They got to get the best guys to have the ball in their hands at all times. The quarterbacks, they're not distributors. Like, I don't think they're the best athletes. Like, they're not Justin Fields, but they all are comfortable running the ball, right? Like, we've seen that. And I think Lincoln's actually a really good athlete. And Howard's actually not bad either. So I don't know. Maybe they're more athletic than I'm giving them credit for. But you got to have, you know, dynamic offensive play calling. It can't be what we got used to the last couple years, where it's just you got to make NFL throws all the time and then you just complement it off with running. I don't want to say be Urban Meyer, but be Urban Meyer, man. Have the mindset that playmakers got to be touching the ball all the time. And you have so many of them. And I think Chip can just take it to that level. I agree with you at quarterback, though. I don't want to jump too far in front, you know, here. So yeah, quarterback, I agree with you. I think it does come down to Will Howard, Devin Brown, and that's probably the best choice for the year, honestly.
Yeah. And I think they both are, obviously we have not seen Devin Brown totally run a lot, but you know, I think kind of what he's built up to be, they're very similar in their builds and stuff like that. I think that, you know, kind of either way, like, if you get kind of both of them going, I feel confident that, you know, you have a backup behind the starter, that whichever way they end up going with the starter, you have a backup behind the starter that's legitimate, that, you know, you're not really changing your offense up too much if somebody goes down, and that gives you the opportunities to still run the ball with the other quarterback, you know, when they've been there. You know, I like seeing them definitely practicing like kind of the zone read handoffs and stuff like that, because I think that's going to be part of the offense again. And, you know, I'm not saying that they're going to run these guys as much as JT Barrett got.
No, ran, for but, sure.
You know, there needs to be an option that one of these guys, and these are both big body guys, that they can power in for a first down when you need a third and one, or when you need a damn touchdown and it's, you know, third and two on the goal line and, you know, you need to put in six, and that's another option. And, you know, with the running backs you have, which we're going to get to here in a second, that, you know, I like that. And that's going to add different things to this offense, I think, that has been kind of sorely missing over the last couple of years. And it's nothing on like how CJ Stroud is. I mean, CJ Stroud is great, but it's just that they never figured out the perfect running game to go with him.
Yeah.
And the appropriate blocking to go with that running game.
It was very reminiscent of when Haskins in 2018 with, you know, that, but with Haskins and with Stroud, Haskins, they figured out, like, we got all this damn speed around him that we can substitute a running game for very quick on time passes. And, you know, we can block them real quick. We can do mesh routes. And Haskins excelled at that stuff because he could process and he could get it out of his hand so quick to those guys. Stroud, it was still almost like he would, you know, it was too much of just making NFL throws, and he could do them all. So I'm not nitpicking too much. End of the day, what I have to say about like the whole thing, I know people, there's, you know, both sides of it. And I think we're kind of like somewhere in the middle. Like Stroud did not need to like run all the time, but we wanted him to pick up first downs, right? You like, you got to keep the chains moving. That's football. You wear a defense down and then you lean on them in the fourth quarter, and that's when you crush them. But with Stroud, you know, he wouldn't necessarily take the easy ones because he was throwing it, and more times than not, he was successful. So you couldn't bitch about it too much, but there was still a little bit that we were turning the ball over when we didn't need to, because he didn't always take some free yards that were available to him. My problem with those offenses with Ryan Day, there should never be a point, at least in my opinion, that you go 3 years where your starting quarterback can't give you one rushing touchdown. And that's a problem. Like, there's so much there that we were getting stuffed, you know, within the 5 yard line, that we were settling for field goals where a quarterback, you know, should be able to see something breaks down and they just run it in. So that was an issue I had. I mean, Ryan Day really, he did not have a quarterback touchdown from 2020 CJ Stroud's 50 yarder, right? You know, against Michigan State when he comes in for a couple plays, until Devin Brown ran one in against Purdue. There was no quarterback touchdown in between that whole time. Unless I'm wrong, but I don't believe Fields didn't get one against Clemson. I don't think.
No, I think you're right.
And I don't think he got one against Alabama. And I don't. Yeah. So, I mean, I could be, Fields might've got something in 20 outside that, but I'm pretty sure it's Stroud to Devin Brown. Those are everything in between. There was no quarterback touchdown.
Yeah. And so that's definitely where I definitely like, you know, I definitely like that they have some guys now that can do that. And, you know, I'm willing to, you know, if they can get the whole running game going forward again, like, I think that these guys will be good enough passers and the receivers are good enough that they will figure out a passing game to work with.
Right.
But like you said, just having a quarterback that can move the ball with his legs and, you know, the type of running backs that they have, that I think the passing game will end up working, because it always ended up working for the most part with Urban. And, you know, because, you know, you had to pay way too much attention to the guys in the backfield, and they killed teams with that, especially when they had Herman there and when they had Day there,
right,
with guys that could call passing, and they have guys that can call passing in there. You know, it's not like Beck is there and Warner.
Right. So, exactly. Like, the only years that, I mean, 12 and 13 weren't great, but Braxton could do things, you know, like when Braxton actually, now, sure. I think Braxton actually did okay in 13, 12, you know, and then 15 and 16. Yeah, they were not good passing years, but I mean, 15 and 16, I mean, look at who we're calling the offense, man. I mean, they just put you behind the eight ball. And so, yeah, it's, you're not getting that with Chip Kelly, Ryan Day, Brian Hartline, and, you know, that's not a worry at all. I mean, these guys, if there is a struggle for these guys to get the ball downfield to the receivers, they will come up with a solution for, you know, in 5 yard passes to get the ball to the receivers. Yeah. I'm not worried about that.
Yeah. And they will figure out different things. They will figure out different types of plays, even if it's primarily short and medium throws, they will still break guys off.
Right.
And
exactly.
And they will lull safeties up, and those guys will end up being open down the field. Like, so, you know, I'm not worried about that. All right. Running back. So, you know,
that's a stable, man.
So I don't know how anybody, if they can figure this out, if they can be like Georgia in their mindset and be like, hey, you know, Quinshon Judkins and Trey, we can both get them plenty of carries and they're going to get plenty of yards and plenty of touchdowns. And hey, we'll still be able to mix Dallin in, and he's still going to get some play too. Like, I don't know how they should still be able to get Dallin like 400, 500 yards this year. Like, you know, I mean, like I said, if Georgia can figure it out over years, you know, this, they can figure this out. And the way, you know, I think Chip's going to really want to attack with running the game. God, they're going to be able to come at these teams in so many different ways. Like, I'm just like crazy to think about. I mean, I don't, you know, I don't want to necessarily take wide receivers off the field, but the, like, you have to every now and then throw the two running back set out there. Because, well, like,
well, and I think you're just in a place where, and I know you got all that receiver talent, and like you said, you don't want to take them off the field. But one, yes, you got to throw out some two running back sets. Hell, maybe just have some fun within run a wing tee every now and then. You know, could be a damn good time.
And I would not count Chip out for trying stuff like that. He did do goofy things where he had three running backs on the field. I mean, usually the third running back would be like a receiver.
Yeah.
But, you know, but they have actually receivers on this team that could do stuff like that.
So. And don't forget, I mean, Trey can run too, man. I mean, so Judkins and, excuse me, Dallin, you know, they could be your running backs. But if you need some guy that can take you to the house and have that, have a different gear. I mean, Trey is there. So it's just, there's a lot they can do with it. And I would like to see maybe Trey, and like my next point to getting a receiver off the field, maybe that Xavier Johnson role can start kind of going towards Trey. Yes, you know, yes, yes. I think that's just the type of guy. And I think he's more dynamic than what like Curtis Samuels was, but that's not taking anything away from Curtis Samuels. I think that's just, he's a little bit better, but that could be Trey. I don't know if he'll ever be as good of a receiver as what Samuels was, but catching and touching the ball, you know, just making sure that you have so many touches built in for him, because he can take it to the house every time. And I'd still, like, I agreed with someone yesterday that said about him taking punts back. Punts are a little scary because I don't know if he can field them. I've said from day one, Trey Henderson should be their kickoff returner because of how dangerous he is in open field. If he can do it, I'd say go for it. I mean, I know people don't want to see him taking extra hits, but we got the depth at running back. Like, if he wants to do it, you got to be dangerous everywhere.
Yeah. No, I could see that, seeing them try to find spots for him on special teams. No, I agree with you 100% on, like, you know, and, you know, this kind of showing our age a little bit, that I'm not saying Quinshon is Lindell White, but, you know, Trey could definitely be Reggie Bush in this offense. Like,
yeah,
get him out. Get but him
he needs
out,
to get into space.
Like, let him run the ball, move him. Like, they can be moving him in and out of the backfield, like, you know, what, you know, Devontae a couple years ago at Alabama, that could be him. And, you know, you get him on some crazy tosses, like what they used to do, USC used to do with Reggie Bush, you know, some screen passes. Like, he literally is the most dangerous all purpose back that you can think of, you know, in college football right now. Like, I'm sorry to say it. I mean, the guy can do so much different stuff. So, they got to get him into spaces and let him kind of be that guy. And then, you know, and Quinshon, I mean, I think the best thing for him and Trey is just that they're going to take so much wear and tear off each other.
Yes.
That, you know, and that's just going to be scary. Can you imagine that dude when you got teams like tired in the fourth quarter and that one of those dudes end up with the ball? Like, you know, I mean, there's going to be opportunities this year where, when, especially against some of these bad teams and stuff, and, you know, they're kind of put away, or the mediocre teams like Nebraska, let's say, if they're up by a couple scores against Nebraska and Ryan Day, he just wants to be done with the game. You know, they could be like to Quinshon and Trey, like, hey boys, fourth quarter, it's your guys' game. Let's, you know, well,
that's what they did in Notre Dame in what, 21, right?
Yeah. Like, let's just end this game. Like, it's your guys' game. Hey, Will Howard, you're going to take a couple snaps too. Or Devin Brown, whoever's the starter, you know, let's run some people over and let's go home.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think that's going to be, you know, cause you know, and Ryan Day is kind of that coach.
22,
you
know,
Ryan Day is kind of that coach. He gets into these situations where you can tell when he gets in the second half, he wants games to end. And, you know, like, we won. I want to end this game. Let's go home. Like, yeah, got a long season in front of me. And they have a backfield now, and they have an offensive coordinator then I think that we'll be like, okay, let's go out and let's go end this game. And, you know, we can go do an 8-minute drive if we have to. And yeah. I think they have the opportunity to do stuff like that this year. And that's also got me excited that, you know, I think that they really are going to be able to blow some people out of there running the ball this year.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. That's what I'm excited for. Of course, you know, Fry has to get his offensive lineman to take take a big step, in my opinion. I really thought they were showing signs last year, so I don't want to be too hard on them. I mean, they took a drive right down Michigan's throat, so, you know, it was they had their moments. I mean, of course, the Missouri.
They were starting to run block better, and I think that they could really, you know, they got to figure some stuff out with the pass blocking, especially on the right side of the offensive line. I think the left side is fine, you know.
The right side has to be more athletic.
They got to figure some, like, if Fryer is the legitimate guy at tackle, or if they're going to end up moving him to guard or whatnot. I know they've been this week, they did Montgomery a little bit at right guard. Maybe they like him better there. I don't know. They got some Tegra in there a little bit too.
I mean, I would like to see. I think Fryer could be a good guard. I mean, I think Montgomery has the best upside. So I don't know if maybe I want him to be a starter. But if Tegra's quicker, if he can react quicker than Fryer, I'm all for moving Fryer down to guard and putting Tegra at right tackle. That's what they want to do. I think Tegra is just tailor made to be a mauler at guard, though. So,
yeah.
I mean, I really would love to see him get the shot there.
I mean, and nothing against Fryer. I think where I'm kind of at, I'd like to see Montgomery, you know, take that right tackle spot, and I would like to see Tegra take that right guard spot. And I think that's kind of where I'm at. It sounds like that's, you know, even though he's been running a little bit more with the twos, which is to be expected, but it sounds like a lot of people from what I was reading for yesterday's practice was really liking how McLaughlin was looking, because, you know, they he's a different player. You can tell he's got the experience and stuff like that. And I think he's going to end up being the one at the center. And so, you know, I think that kind of helps them move a couple pieces around on that offensive line, because, you know, they will have a legitimate guy at center. So, so I guess since we're talking about the offensive line, we'll just, you know, finish up on them. But I think that with the offensive line that, you know, I think the left side is definitely decided. I think McLaughlin's going to be your guy in the middle. They just got to figure out the right side of the line. And they got to make sure they get the, and I think part of this, like we just talked about earlier with them going to be running the ball more, I think the toughness part of it's going to come back. That it's just, I don't think a lot of people understand that if you're not running that stuff every day in practice, it's hard to like go out of the game. Hey, it's third and one. We got to go knock somebody off the ball and, you know, go pick up I mean, how often are you practicing that when you've been such a pass heavy team over the last couple of years and stuff like that? I just think that with the mindset changing a little bit and them having a running quarterback, that I think the run blocking will kind of get back up to where the standard that we under the entire Urban era were kind of used to, that, you know, those guys mauled people when Urban was the head coach. And I think we'll start seeing that again.
What I want to see is them figure out what the hell to do with a backside end running free down the line, because that has plagued this team for 3 years. I actually thought last year they started learning more stuff. I don't know if like Fry just like shook day and was like, man, listen to me when it comes to calling run plays. Cause I mean, we saw that for how many plays either they run that boundary stretch play or some sort of like read look that they didn't actually, you know, it wasn't actually a read option at all because there was no read on it. And the backside end would just crash down and hit the running back before he could even get moving. So hopefully we never see that crap again. It's been fixed.
Well, hopefully this year, if we see it, it'll be this time that the quarterback's actually keeping the ball.
Teach them a lesson.
And that will actually start slowing those guys down a little bit. So, you know,
that's very true. Yes. Yeah, if that happens, then I'm okay with it.
Yeah. No, I definitely, yeah, that is, we, I mean, it sounds like a dead horse beating the dead horse. I mean, I beat the hell out of that dead horse over the last couple of years. They did start getting better as the season went on because they went more to a gap scheme.
Right. They stopped. I mean, and that's the other thing is just like recognizing what your running backs do best. I feel like they just didn't have a grasp for that on that until, you know, halfway through last year. Like, I mean,
and you talked about
like USC student body, right? You know, throwing a toss to Trey with a couple pullers in front of him. Trey has excelled running behind lead blockers.
Yes.
They get a block and he is too damn fast. He finds where he needs to go and he just hits the seam and he usually gets a touchdown out of it. Like, he is very good taking tosses, but he is not good taking stretch runs to the boundary, even though he got a lot better at that last year. Like, he did become more patient and he was better at it. So I shouldn't say he's not good at it. I think he can do it, but he is just really good with a gap.
Yeah. And maybe also that I'm wondering that, you know, with Ryan Day was so stretched so thin last year, I don't know how well they were teaching that play last year. And maybe with Chip, who understands that play too, that, you know, maybe they'll be able to teach it better to him and they'll be able to figure some of that stuff out a little bit better with some of those, you know, the zone. Cause I know they love building other stuff off their offense with it, in the passing game.
Right.
So, you know, I get that. So it's either learn how to run it a little bit better, but you still got to do other things besides that, especially when, you know, the gap scheme stuff was working so well this year. They need to continue doing that stuff, but maybe they will be able to teach it a little bit better this year, the wide zone, and, you know, they will actually be able to work it a little bit better. All right. Quickly, we'll do tight ends just real fast. I mean, I think
Will Kazmarek, I think.
I really like him. I've seen from him, just coming into the season. I saw a couple of things of him at OU. I think the guy is ready for big boy football. You know, I think, you know, he obviously, they talked about it, he kind of got screwed with the whole pandemic season, that, you know, he just never got the opportunities to, you know, kind of showcase himself, you know, to schools because there were so many dead periods throughout all that stuff that, you know, he just couldn't get on campus anywhere, go to camps and stuff like that. And so he was kind of a casualty in that, but, you know, he excelled at OU. You know, I think he brings some really necessary big body block from there. Plus, you know, he's kind of a good old school tight end and catching the ball.
Yeah.
And I think he'll do really well in this offense. I'm interested to see where the next guy ends up, who's the second, you know, is, if it's going to be Thurman, is it going to be G Scott, or can they figure out ways to get both of them in there? You know, is there ways to get Thurman, you know, possibly, you know, even stretch him out a little bit, you know, and different things.
Or G Scott stretched out to, you know, receiver position.
I mean, I definitely want to see them be able to. I know it's greedy. There's a lot of greed in me right now. You know,
absolutely.
It's not good to be so greedy, but I am. That I they got all these guys, and I want to see them all make plays, and that includes the tight ends. And I just think that they got some playmakers there, and I want to see, because those are just mismatches everywhere. And I love the tight end. Everybody knows how much I love the tight end.
Cade Stover, you know, I really hope people remember him for, you know, being a good receiving weapon at tight end, because he definitely, you know, he set the bar high for what a receiving tight end needs to be at Ohio State after last year, you know, and I think you got more talent with Thurman than Cade. But you don't need them to, you know, catch 40 balls, but man, I mean, they're difference makers. So I do like the room. I think it's very unproven though. I don't know if G's ever going to be that guy, and that's not to insult him. I mean, he's a great kid. I can't believe he's stuck around with the program as long as he has. I mean, that's just a, you know, testament to his work ethic and what he believes in himself. Cause I'm sure he could go somewhere else, you know, be a big receiver or be a tight end for a smaller school and showcase his talents. So, I mean, I definitely appreciate him hanging around. I think Jelani's just a prototype out there that, you know, you got to get that guy ready as quickly as possible. that's, I mean, that's just my honest opinion on him. Bennett Christian, I've heard that, you know, he's getting some snaps, so he definitely looks like he, you know, he's filling out and he's ready to be a tight end. I think he's more of a blocker anyways, you know, he's kind of a hoss there. So definitely like that. I mean, I think we've been missing that for a couple years. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting how it shakes out. I don't know how it will, because it doesn't sound like Jelani's quite there yet, but it's practice too. So, you know, like maybe they're just where he was at the end of last year, and maybe he's going to shoot up here within, you know, the next 12 practices.
Yeah. All right, wide receivers.
I mean, what you're the history buff, right? So like, what is, and I'm talking old school, you know, Roman or Greek, what is the most impressive ground force that has ever lived? What is the greatest infantry that has ever walked the surface?
I mean, you could definitely argue. I mean, you got the, I mean, if you're talking about antiquity, I mean, they all have their points. I mean, the Roman legions,
the Spartans, man. Like,
I mean, it's the Spartans. I mean, you talk about, I mean, Alexander the Great's forces. I mean, that's, you talk about, you know, take over lands and stuff like that. No, they're all like great. No, I will say this. I am so damn happy that they played Cardale Tate as much as they played Cardale Tate last year, because there should be no stigma in their mindsets about playing Jeremiah Smith this year.
No.
That dude needs to play. Like, I'm sorry. That guy looks the part. It's like, yeah, there should be three unbelievable seasons of him play there. Like, I don't see how he can't get 500 yards receiving this year. Like, you know,
yeah,
I get it. Like, but he's your third receiver. You know, it's Abuka, it's Cardale Tate, it's him. You mix Brandon Innes in there, you find some spots for Jaden Ballar to come in. They should be going five deep. They need to get back to where they were going 5-6 deep at wide receiver, because, right, you know, again, you need the depth. You're playing all these extra games this year, and like all these, you don't got a Marv on this team this year. Like, Jeremiah Smith easily could eventually be that, maybe even be better than that. But, you know, you should be able to move all these guys around in different spots, try some different things, you know, again, the more options you have it all over the field, the harder you're just to be able to play against.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree. And that guy just, I mean, he ready. Like you said, he looks the part, man. He came in, he's just yoked. And I just, wow. Like, I'm very excited for that. You know, those South Florida kids are different, that's for sure. So I know Tate's originally from Chicago, but those South Florida Express kids, I mean, they take it to a different level. I'm expecting big things from Brandon Innes. I think he's another one that, of course, you know, maybe doesn't have the running back skill set that like Trey does, but he can do what Xavier Johnson did and maybe take it to a different level as well.
Yeah. And I would like to see him be the punt returner. I think, you know, they have enough depth there that they can throw Brandon Innes back at punt return. And they, that way,
let us not forget, Caleb Downs is actually a pretty damn good punt returner too.
Yeah.
He has experience with it.
Maybe both of them back there. I mean, I remember Trestle used to run two guys back there at the same time. I mean, it was a weird setup, but it could happen.
Ted Ginn, like, the only man alive that can make Santonio Holmes look slow.
Yeah. No, I want to see Downs back there too, but it's just like, you know, just Brandon Innes is, you know, maybe rotate him a little bit. Yeah. I don't know. It's a way that, you know, just to keep it Downs healthy and stuff. I don't want him to take a shot, an unnecessary shot somewhere. You know, he's needed on the defensive side of the ball, but no, they got so many weapons. And like, and where I said earlier that I want them to see run them two running back sets, I still want to see them run two running back sets, but I also want to see them run four wide receiver sets every now and then. Like, they got some legitimate guys on this team. Like, and if you have a running quarterback now and you have a running back that can actually run the ball, they could throw four wide receivers out there every now and then. And like, you know, just for hell of it, shits and giggles, man. Like, you know, what is a team going to do when, you know, you see Tate, Abuka, Jeremiah Smith, and Brandon Innes all out there at the same time? Like, Like, what's up with that?
And then
like,
you just run the ball up the middle.
Yeah. Maybe. Like, you never know. Or you're like, hell, a couple of those guys, Ibuka and Ennis, can run the ball. So, like, you know, they can do different things. They can actually come to the backfield and be a running back every now and then. The point is that there's playmakers on this team that they can try a lot of different stuff. And they need to try a lot of different stuff.
And, you know, I kind of started saying that at the beginning, but I don't think my point ever came across. So I'm happy you said that, because it's taken us an hour to get to what I want from the offense. I don't want to rely just on NFL throws. You got too much out there. Get the ball out of your hand quickly. These guys need to touch the ball. They need to touch the ball often. They got to get the ball early in the play. Let your playmakers do that. That's what I want to see this offense evolve to this year. Maybe, you know, in a couple years when it's Aaron Nolan's show, if it ever is, and he's more like CJ Stroud, you can dial back to where you were. But right now, with what you have everywhere on offense and your running backs, you got to get the ball out quick. Guys got to get, you know, playmakers got to get the ball in their hand early, and you got to make plays.
Yeah. Exactly. Now, I agree with that. That's what I want to see with the offense. Like, you know, there is no reason why you can go a lot of these guys and blow some teams out and get a lot of every one of these guys you can get stats for, because they should be able to handle a lot of teams on this schedule this year fairly easily.
No, this should. Yeah.
And I mean, everybody should be pretty happy with what they get stat wise this year, because I think so. That they should be able to really spread this ball around and stuff like that. I mean, and I don't want to just rely a lot on just 11 and 12 personnel, even though I want to see 11 and 12 personnel, but I thought maybe they relied a little too much the last couple of years on 12 personnel, but I want to see more of those two running back sets. I want to see every now and then where they throw four true wide receivers out there. And, you know, your base offense can still be 11 personnel, but get some other guys out there and get some different mix and matches out there. Let teams see a whole bunch of stuff and just let them have to, you know, my God, what is Ohio State going to throw at us this week, and have to make them figure out the practice. And then, you know, then you attack teams and then you kind of set teams up. Oh, they practice a lot of 12 personnel this week, so we're going to run. We see that, so we're going to run a lot more 11 personnel. And right. Like, you know, you guys screwed yourselves, because we have the playmakers that can do both. So, like, you know,
I mean, you should have the playmakers that you should feel comfortable doing empty sets every now and then too. You know, I hate empty sets personally. I've heard quarterbacks love them because you can identify quickly where your open guy should be. But, you know, I don't think Ohio State's ever ran them very well.
But they have now a running quarterback that an open set actually works. And it's going to linebackers just can't come up and try to crowd him.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you could easily give up a first down on an open set with a running quarterback. So, like, you know, they can't, because they have to wait, because that could easily be a quarterback draw.
Right. And right. Yeah. I mean, that
they have not had that option in a couple years, and they would have that this year. So, you know, all right. I mean, I think we're pretty good with that, unless you have anything more you want to throw in there. I mean, I'm just really excited. You know, I'm going to be super excited on the next episode too, when we talk about defense. You know, Denzel Burke said it perfectly the other day. It is natty or bust. I feel that way this year. Like, you know, and I get it. Anything can happen. There's going to be more teams in the playoffs and stuff like that. But there's no reason why Oregon is going to be a tough game out there in Eugene.
Yeah.
There is no reason why this team shouldn't be 11-1 or 12-0 heading into the Big Ten championship game. I mean, I'm sorry. That's, you know, especially when you realize what Michigan is losing. You know, they are losing between the coaching staff and the players that they lost. You know, they are ripe to be beaten this year. You know, you know, it's that will be well due too, that, you know, it's time to start turning that one around. But it's like, you know, natty or bust. Like, that's kind of how I feel right now, especially when you start really going down the line of what this team has.
My last statement, I did see a Michigan fan, because, you know, they're my favorite people out on social media, and they were like, and I can't remember which Ohio State clip it was, but they're like, if Ohio State doesn't win the championship this year, is this considered the greatest bust of all time? It's like, my brother, like, we consider Luke Fickell's 7-loss season the greatest bust of all time. Like, he didn't win a national championship and we were all pissed off about it. Like, this is our expectation every year, right or wrong. This is what us as fans believe Ohio State is. And I don't, I think some of us are more rational than the other ones, but I don't think there's any of us that go into a year that don't believe we're going to win a national title or that we're not going to play for one. So, or be competitive for one. So, yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, it's natty or bust for sure, but that's the standard here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think maybe those guys, I don't know if their mindset's ever going to get there or not. I mean, kudos. You got, you know, you got your natty, but we'll see. I mean, it already seems like that they don't expect to win another one, which is damn crazy to me. Cause I know in 03 and 15, I was like, shit, we're going to beat everybody by 60 points. Like, let's go. We're going to back to back. And it just didn't work out. But yeah. So I don't know. Last thought for the night. We can leave it that unless you got something else.
No, I'm good. Let's get on out of here.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for stopping in tonight to the Buckeye Bar. I'm John.
And I'm Mike.
OH.
IO.